Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Ooh, very enthusiastic.
I'm not going to do the hi anymore. I'm going to try to stick to the hello.
Oh.
Maybe I'll throw in a hi every once in a while.
Podcast maturity.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Just slightly less awkward.
Welcome to
Queeriosities.
Okay.
That was good.
Everybody, if you are sitting there going, okay, I'm giving them one last chance. They spoke way too long last time about their chit-chat in the beginning. We completely understand.
Yeah.
We felt the same way. So we're keeping it to like 2 or 3 minutes, and then we're jumping right into the subject.
Yeah. We're trying to tone it down.
We're toning it down a bit. We got a little bit passionate about smart food last week.
Many things last week, let's be honest.
Oh, like, yes. And we're not going to do that this week. One of the updates we have to give you, though, is that we're not over Costco.
We got feedback from other people about Costco.
We did. And so we're talking about what we shared with you last time of who shows their membership and who pays. And they wouldn't let myself with my wife and Kayla and her brother. So then we got feedback that so all straight couples that share their experiences with us say that they have done that same thing and have never had an issue. And there have been multiple straight couples who contacted us about that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there were multiple queer couples who contacted us about that. And every one of them, actually there were two of them, so both of them mm-hmm. shared that the same thing happened with them.
Yeah.
That one showed their membership card and one went to pay and they wouldn't let them. And we went through the policies on Costco. And
we did.
Right? And by we, I mean you.
And then I shared them with you.
Exactly. And there's nothing written in Costco's policy that one individual must show the card and pay if they're on the same membership.
Yeah. I think our situation is special because like they're on the same membership as us.
Exactly. One household, one membership. So listeners, we're not getting into it again, of course, but we want to share with you that we are going to write a letter.
A strongly worded letter.
There you go. We love Costco.
We really do.
And we're going to continue to go to Costco.
Yes.
If it happens again, I'm certainly not going to let it slide in the moment, right? Now that I have the knowledge, the data from our personal, field research and understand what's currently happening. If it happened again, I'd obviously stand up, but we're writing a letter to the corporation. They have to know that's happening.
Yeah.
And I feel like for the people that we told we're writing a letter to, they're very supportive.
I think that, you know, you don't want to go to that and have that experience, of all places, Costco, you're paying for some groceries.
Hell no.
And have that, homophobic feeling vibe as you leave Costco.
Yeah, that just makes you fight with your wife when you get home.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that.
We fought for the customer service person, but,
I know.
Yeah.
But I remember I was still like, oh no, it's not homophobic. Aaron's like, open your eyes, Colleen. Right?
It's homophobic.
Okay. And I do want to share with you, like 30 seconds, a piece of information that I received over the last 2 weeks that I'm floored. And I feel like all of you need to know that if you didn't already know this, which I feel you didn't because I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Kayla is a singer.
And I think, just making that statement is not accurate.
No, you have the voice of an angel.
That's a bold-faced lie.
It's actually not.
Okay, you've never heard me sing.
You have a singing career.
I do not have a singing career.
That came before this podcast.
Okay, no. It actually coincidentally came up today in class. So I was trying to get the students' attention, and I said, what do I have to do here? Like a song and dance to try to get them to settle at the beginning of the class?
Oh,
and then I told them the story.
Because they all were like, and attention to the front of the classroom. I would love to hear a song and dance from Kayla.
Yeah. So I was involved in a summer job where it's like transition to school. So you're getting little ones prepared to start primary. So it was like groups that would get started and we go school to school or whatever. And of course, with little ones, you like read stories and you have to sing. And I did not know that before I took the job and started. But then we got there and I've got my teacher name tag on it, the little apple. It says Miss Kayla.
Oh.
And I realized I have to sing to these individuals and they ate it up because they had no choice.
They
had no choice in their, imperatives.
So audience, depending on how long this podcast lasts, I feel from now to the end of the podcast days, we're going to have Kayla do some a cappella.
I feel like Queeriosities is just us at the beginning saying it together is the most acapella you are ever going to get from this body.
Well, we'll see, everybody. We'll see. Challenge accepted. Okay, so
the topic.
I know. I'm like, where do we start with the topic? Because the topic that we want to share with you today is one that when we were talking about starting a podcast in the very beginning, it was really one of the topics that we were like, this is la raison d'être, this podcast. Like, this is one of the reasons we want to even make a podcast is because we have to talk about sports.
I think it was my selling point, if I'm going to be honest.
Yes.
Because we had, you know, thought of some ideas and that sort of thing. And like, yeah, we're kind of like compiling a list of things. Okay, well, if we did a podcast, what would we talk about? And we talked about sports. And I was like, that's the one for me.
That's the one.
It's a big one.
And it's the one, so if you're listening and you're not, you don't have a history of, you know, being athletic or participating in sport, or it's not really kind of a context that you're familiar with, that's okay, because it's also not a context I'm super familiar with. But when it comes to sports and queerness, I am very invested, because I think the messaging that we send to kids from the very beginning, whether or not I participated in it myself, I can see that messaging happening, and it's super destructive. And we're going to start there, and we're going to go all the way up to like the actual policies that are like the law, the legislation, the policies that are currently changing that are against queerness in sport.
Right.
Right. And so we're going to do like the whole gamut. We have to talk about the whole thing. So
kind of like a timeline.
It is. We're going to take it more of a timeline. So we've kind of organized it in that way that we're going to start with the younger kids and we're going to move our way up.
Yeah.
And again, like most topics that we're passionate about, it may leak into a part B of this. I imagine it will. And so stick along for the ride, if you will, please.
I think when we first started talking about this, one of the big things that bothers me about this topic in general is that it seems like we're dividing kids up based on, and we talked about this even before we started the podcast, is it dividing of sexes, is it penis and vulvas, is it whatever it is? I think we decided what dividing of sexes is happening younger and younger. Because I know personally when I started playing soccer, it was co-ed for the longest time. I remember playing co-ed until at least grade 5, grade 6.
And I think, like, when you say that, I find that unbelievable. Because today, kids are divided from the first time they step on a field.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, and my nieces are, like, involved in soccer. They were this past summer. And my sister already said, like, they, you know, they divide them up between girls and boys already. Mm-hmm. And I think even that sends a message that, like, girls can only play with girls. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're instilling that kind of, theory, I guess, in their head. Like, you can only play sports with people of the same sex. You don't play with people of the opposite sex. And then we kind of, like, build on the reasons as to why, like, implicitly, like, we're not, like, outwardly telling them, you play only play with your same sex because, but they're kind of learning it as they go.
Totally. And they're learning. And the first thought that comes to my mind is like, okay, so you're 4 years old and you're first put on a soccer field or a basketball court. You're divided by sex, meaning if you have a penis, you have to play on this team. Yeah. And if you have a vulva, you have to play on this team. So the kid is like, cool. So there's an inherent difference, obviously, between me and this other person.
Yeah.
But also, like, who's using their penis to play basketball?
Yeah.
Who's using their vulva to play soccer?
And this is
before, it doesn't matter.
This is before hormones even come into play.
And years before hormones come into play, right? If you're going to start with hormones, you're a teenager.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if we're talking 0 to 10, right? You're divided by your anatomy at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And within that, and you can speak more to this, that so the teaching of those two teams, so a girls' team and a boys' team, which even saying that is just devastating, that any child who is non-binary or outside of the gender binary,
they don't have a team. They're forced to pick a team if they want to play sport, or they're completely ostracized from sports in general.
And then they're ostracized from sport at the very beginning of their life when they're being first introduced to athletics. And so a non-binary athlete, whether or not they've even recognized their own gender, because at this point, often at 4, and that's not for everyone, certainly some at 4 know the feeling of their gender. But for those who haven't really been exposed to the concept, we have forced the gender on them because of their genitalia, right? Mm-hmm. And so, cool, non-binary child. You physically have to ask that child, what is in your pants? Mm-hmm. Once I know your anatomy, I will then assign a team to you.
Yeah.
Right? Like if we break it down to that level, it's so deeply ridiculous
yeah.
to divide teams that way. But then, okay, so then let's say the teams are divided because that is how it happens today. Those teams are treated differently.
Yeah. So the boys typically are treated with more competitively developing skills and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls, unfortunately, is treated more so like casually. It's all there for fun, that sort of thing. But I think if we're like, if the overall goal of sport is to have everyone participate, everyone involved, everyone developing the same skill set, it should be done in a way that everybody's together. Everyone's learning the skills together.
Mm.
Because at that point, hormones are not into play at all.
No.
For the many, many years, we could have all sexes together
mm-hmm.
learning the foundation of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have less of a divide between girls playing and boys playing when they're teenagers because they all have the same foundation of skills.
Yes. And so what you're describing is if we're staying with like, you know, really young kids in sport, what you're describing really is like ideal world kind of pipe dream scenario.
Yeah.
Because it means that there's no misogyny at play. There's no homophobia at play. There's no preconceived notion of gender at play, right?
The sport is at play.
It's only the sport that's
we're,
at play.
We're focusing on the sport and
right.
who wants to participate in the sport. We're not putting labels on anybody. We're not saying put yourself in this box or this box.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to learn baseball, soccer, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be absolutely the ideal world,
yeah.
right? And that's, again, like you say, there's no hormones at play. There's no, you know, teenage or young adult development happening yet. You just have basketball or you just have soccer, you just have wrestling, whatever it is. And the kid, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've seen this happen
yeah.
with your niece, that the boys team is actually taught more technical skill, more rules, more competitive based stuff.
It's taken more seriously, whereas the girls team is more casual. In general.
And what does casual look like for a girls team?
You're there to have fun.
Right.
So it's less maybe skill-based. It's less, you know, the parent involvement is different typically
mm-hmm.
with how like pushy they can be. Like, you know, like, I would seriously go taking it with their kid.
Right.
That's playing on the field.
Yeah. So it's like you have like a Timbits little like girls team. It's like, kick the ball.
Yeah.
Here's the net.
Yeah.
You know, like doesn't matter how you're kicking it or like kick it to this person or, you know, and there's no like, here's your footwork.
Yeah.
Here's your technique. Here's what the goal, here's the different, you know, the different vocabulary. I don't know the game, but it's like, here's the different vocabulary, like shoot it with your left side of your foot or whatever you
that
do.
That would be correct.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. But it's like, and then I think there's a happy medium too. And then that's a whole other discussion about, you know, sport with young people. You want the sport just to also be fun.
Of course.
For young people,
yeah.
right? And if you don't want it to be super, super technical, that it becomes competitive and it becomes like a stressful,
anxiety-inducing
thing. You want it to be fun.
You want to learn the skills, you want to learn the technicalities behind it, but it should be fun for both. And it shouldn't be super, super competitive for boys either.
Exactly.
It's a fine balance between like the skills, the techniques, and having fun and, you know, playing sport for the right reasons.
And I think too, if we're looking at sport at this age, two things come to mind. And I know we already talked about this with like the gender division of clothing.
Yeah.
But if we walk into a store, so many more boys and stereotypically masculine boys' clothes have sports content on them. There's expression, there's slogans, there's designs, there's sports equipment on all, not all, but in a significant number of the boys' clothing that's designed. Whereas even if you have sports related clothes for girls, it's often dance or it's cheerleading, right? It's like
gymnastics.
Daddy's cheerleader or it's gymnastics or, right? It's these sports. And again, we are not here saying the sports are more feminine at all.
Mm-mm.
But society's messaging is that these sports are more feminine.
Yeah, stereotypically.
They're more stereotypically feminine, whereas like the hockey and the basketball and the soccer, even the volleyball, right, is
yeah.
more kind of design that's going to be found on boys' clothes.
Yeah.
Right. So that messaging, even not coming explicitly from your parents or your teachers or whoever, you're wearing it on your body.
It's woven into society in so many ways.
Exactly.
That certain sports are geared towards certain sexes and other sports are geared towards other sexes, and we learn it implicitly.
And I think that comes too with role models. Like if we talk about role models and if you're really young,
yeah.
And I think it's changing, which that is a good thing. But if we look at when we were younger, if we talk about coaches, girls didn't grow up thinking, I want to be a coach of this team.
Yeah.
Because they never saw women be coaches of their teams.
Yeah.
Right? Like, And I don't know if it's like, you know, now more men are like more willing and have more time, or what it is to make more men be coaches of teams. Well, I do know it's the systemic issue of the history of more men and boys playing sports and more girls and women playing sports. So there's more available, more knowledgeable, more technical about sport that they obviously go toward that path of coaching. And it's not saying that women aren't knowledgeable and aren't, don't have, you know, the skills to do it. They didn't have the opportunity to see themselves in that job.
Yeah.
Right. So when we get to a really high level, which we'll talk about later, but when we get to the professional level, if you look at how many high level coaches and referees are female across the board in sport, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The ratio.
I think I was lucky because I had a pretty good mix, but it was more male dominated than female. So I had more male coaches growing up than I did female. I did have some female that were great, but more male than female.
Yeah. And I think that that plays into the children too. And it's like, when you look at a team, it's more acceptable in the eyes of society. And audience, if you disagree with what we're saying, like, please tell us. Like, that's the juice. That's what we want. That if you disagree and if you have a different experience that is against what we're saying, please let us know, because we want to share that too. But if you look at boys' teams, like, we work in a high school, so if we take that kind of demographic, it is more acceptable in the eyes of society that a man be the coach of a boys' team that works, and a man being a coach of a female team, no one bats an eye. That's totally normal.
Yeah.
A woman being the coach of a woman's team, cool. But a woman being the coach of a, like, a senior men's team in high school,
we see that very.
It's very rare.
Very rare.
It's very rare, and if it happens, it's almost like, ooh,
yeah.
Question. Like, but are they the head coach?
Yeah.
Right. It's like you'd question if they're the head coach, or are they like the teacher liaison, right? And like all of that stems from systemic issues of misogyny in sport.
And hopefully that eventually changes, because more, I believe there's at least one coach that's female that was within the NHL and she's just been put in the position of head coach or has a different role. So hopefully that kind of, like, we get away from that and we see more female coaches in higher levels and for teams of the opposite sex. So it's not only female coaches with female teams, that it's female coaches with male teams. It's good for everyone to see. It's good for male players to see. It's good for female players to see. That is an option.
100%.
And that female are capable of doing that.
And I think too, when you say like, it's important for everyone to see, absolutely. It's really important for girls to see. It's really important for non-binary students to see. And I would say it's especially important for young boys to see because the culture of sport is so dominant, right? So for example, if we look at middle school to high school, and if you're, it doesn't even have to be in sport, if you're in phys ed class as a girl, you need to prove yourself to merit a pass in a game.
Yeah.
Right? You're not assumed to be good enough to receive the pass. You need to be able to show that your skill is at that level to play with the boys.
It's not innate. When you're like, look, and I've played co-ed before, it's not innate that they're automatically think, okay, she's here, she's good, automatically even Stevens, equal player, playing level to me. You have to kind of like, and I've experienced it, you have to be able to show them that you're capable, good player, you've got the skill set, and once you've proven yourself, then they're like, oh, okay, I can lean on her if I need support or whatever, the pass is going to be there for her, equal player as to anyone else on the team. And you can see that in gym class.
Right.
Even if there's a strong soccer athlete who's female and they're playing indoor soccer or even soccer on the field outside, I feel like, and I've experienced it myself, you have to prove yourself to the other male students or athletes before it's accepted that you're just like an equal player to them because you are of the opposite sex. So we view sport as general as females are not as strong as male players. Automatically, no matter what the sport, males are always going to be dominant, which isn't the case. But within society, that's how we view it. And we can see that with like professional sports in general, it's completely viewed differently than female sports. And like even with female soccer, it's taken years and chipping away and chipping away and chipping away for it to be taken seriously and even have equal playing time on the on TV, equal paying for players compared to the male athletes, it takes a long time. And slowly we're getting there.
And that really speaks to the deep, deep, deep rooted misogyny in sport.
Yeah.
Right. Which is no surprise, I would imagine, to anyone listening. And when we couple that with the homophobia and transphobia in sport, it's levels of difficult for queer people. And I think in different ways, like even when you're talking and I'm thinking, okay, and that's soccer, right? So you're trying to prove yourself in soccer, and soccer seems to be a pretty neutral sport.
Yeah.
But if we look at the list of sports mm-hmm. and what is considered acceptable and unacceptable.
Yeah.
So if you look at like growing up, even like if I, you know, and obviously it was far more homophobic in our culture growing up, like 30 years ago or 20 years ago. But so you've got sports that, you know, basketball, rugby, wrestling, football, like if girls, hockey,
yeah.
if girls are playing those sports, they're automatically viewed as queer.
Yeah.
And they're automatically viewed as queer almost in an inferior way, right? They're not viewed as queer in as empowering, like empowering way. They're viewed as it's a negative queerness. It's a negative, like, oh, but they're the gay girls and they're just trying to go their gayness in sport or something.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And if it's not even like they're gay, they're at least less feminine because they're playing those sports.
Right. And I think bang, ding, ding, ding.
So no matter what, you're either somewhat queer or if you're not queer, you're at least less feminine. So if you're like someone that's hanging out at the hockey rink or you're looking to play rugby, those are the ones that are stereotypically more masculine.
Mm.
So if you're a female playing those sports, you have to be like technically less feminine.
Right.
And if you're playing a sport like gymnastics or figure skating, you're automatically viewed as being more feminine just because we have those stereotypical sports that these ones are more feminine, these ones are more masculine. And if you're a certain sex, that either means you're more masculine, more feminine, less feminine, automatically without actually getting to know the person.
And it begs the question, WTF, what is femininity?
Yeah.
What? If you want to paint your nails, go do your thing. If I want to play rugby and nail that person like on the field, I am just as feminine as you.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with my femininity, and that begs the question, what is gender? And we're going, that's, and it's a vicious cycle, friends.
Yeah.
So then we're back to episode one, what is gender, right? What is femininity? What is gender? They're all so, so intrinsically linked, right?
Yeah.
But, and then it's, all, and it's, again, it's not queerness as empowering until you make it empowering,
yeah.
right? And so women in sport, queer women in sport can make that empowering as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, and that's really amazing. And now there's queer role models in sport, right?
Yeah.
But even like, I was having this discussion, I was in the classes with grade sevens this week talking about gender stereotypes just in general, like from a counselor lens. And we talked about sport and how there's no like, well, how it started is I actually had a student come up to me who said, but where are the lists of all the clubs? My mom wants me to join more feminine sports.
Okay.
And so in the moment, I want to be like, well, let's break down what that means. But I don't want to put your mom down. But I have to tell you that there's no feminine sports.
Sports
that's not a
sports.
Thing. Sports are sports. There's no feminine sport and masculine sports. Sports are sports. And so that for me was like, okay, I got to do some intervention here on like about gender stereotypes. And so when we're talking about that in the classes, you can watch little grade sevens, their brains are like firing.
Yeah.
That when I ask like, you know, what are feminine sports? And they don't, it's like, they want to say there are none, but they're also like, boo. But I think that cheerleading is feminine. I think that dance is feminine. I think that hockey is masculine. I think that wrestling is masculine, right? Like they have these preconceived notions that they don't necessarily want to share,
no,
right?
We've been all taught that within society.
Because that's the message they've been receiving.
Like being passed a paper with a 100%. List of masculine, list of feminine, we know innately which ones are masculine, which ones are feminine.
And that's the idea that we need to
get
burn to
of.
The ground, right? Like that has to go up in flames. And so teaching these kids, like they have, and that you can tell there's like, you know, one kid who says, yeah, like I've played hockey my whole life. You know, and I know that hockey is not a masculine sport, but I also see there's way less women to make up. There's way less girls to make up a team than there are boys. We don't even get to have tryouts because everyone who shows up makes the team.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that's their perspective because of course they are, because women haven't been shown that they can actually play hockey.
you know, we're not that old. When I was growing up, there wasn't a girls' hockey team.
Yeah, exactly.
And like when my brother, who's younger, when he started going through hockey, my parents did say, we wish we would have put you in hockey.
Mm.
But they didn't have that option. Or
your parents are shout out to them again?
And they wanted me to be in hockey, and they regretted not having put me in hockey. But I don't know if it was even like an option. Like, they had boys hockey, and I had a friend that went through, and, you know, a couple of friends actually, and they were on like the boys hockey team, and mm-hmm. you're completely ostracized from the team because you're in a different locker room.
Totally.
So it's a totally different experience. But like now, you know, 20 years later, mm-hmm. there are actually girl teams. It's just too bad that we're, you know, dividing them when they're like 4 or 5 years old. Rather than have co-ed 100%. All sexes together just playing the sport before we start dividing them up.
100%. And it's too bad because there, like when we look at our age, there are so many amazing athletes, right? Like if I take Erin, my wife, for a second, she's an incredible athlete. Like she will pick up anything and be super good at it.
Yeah.
And yes, she played sports all through her life, fine. But it's like, had she been introduced, like hockey's her sport now, and she didn't start until she was 25. Oh, had she started training at 7, like the
different.
Boys of her age did, she would be a completely different player.
She could be in the NHL right now.
Oh my God, I could be the wife of a famous person.
a puck bunny, I think they would call
okay,
it.
Okay, relax. Like, that's not my goal.
That's a different
thing. Famous. That's
a different thing to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
You could call a puck bunny.
Yeah, exactly. But, in serious though, like had she had the opportunity to develop her skills like the boys of her age did, shit should be like, it's a whole different world,
it's
right? Different. And that's only one generation. Like we're only in our 30s,
yeah.
Right? So it's like, only, you heard that? So that, exactly. And that's the messaging we're trying to send to young kids now too, right? But also if we talk about locker rooms, and then that's a whole other thing of like the homophobia
and the transphobia.
Just, it's this, it's, in general, it's a sexualization of locker rooms.
Why
right?
can't you have a locker room, like even like 20 years ago? Why was it set in stone that the girls had to be in one room, the boys had to be in another? Like, what's happening in the boys' locker room that makes it unsafe for the girls to also put their hockey gear on
100%.
In the same room? That should be like the big question here.
Oh, it should be.
Why are we dividing them when they're 5, 6 years old
mm-hmm.
based on the sexes?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we teaching them that you can't get changed in the same room? Even if it's not like actual, like everyone's still like
yes.
in thermal underwear or something.
Exactly.
They're just putting layers of gear on.
100%.
What's happening here?
And also, what's happening here? And you said unsafe. And I think the two points we want to leave you on today are just that, is like, think about locker rooms, guys. Think about the culture of locker rooms and why the heck can't we have locker rooms that are just change rooms?
Yeah.
There doesn't have to be a culture associated to a locker room, because there's not a culture associated to girls' locker rooms.
No.
So it doesn't seem to be a locker room problem. It seems to be a masculine problem,
yeah.
right? If we're going to break that down, and it's not, we're not, you know, we're just really breaking that down as what is actual locker room culture. But also, you said unsafe, and I think that's huge. And we want to leave you on the idea that, and we'll talk about this next time, that when we hear policies and laws that are trying to prohibit trans people and non-binary athletes from playing sports,
mm-hmm.
it has nothing to do with sports, and it has everything to do with trying to make transphobia acceptable conversation.
They're changing the narrative for their own goal.
And their goal is to deny the existence of queer, specifically non-binary and trans people, athletes.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I just got real serious on that last
one.
But I think that's a really, really big one that we have to continue to talk about in our next episode.
Yes. And we will.
And we will. We have so much more to say, and we have to take it down that path next time. Everybody, as I lighten my tone, thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. The sports topic is really big. So if you find yourself going down that conversation for yourself, be gentle. Right? Any thought that comes up, just actually listen to yourself. Be gentle on yourself. Be gentle to other people when you're talking about this. Thank you for coming. We'll see you again. And toodles!